Thank you for the reading, Andrew. We are in the middle of a series, just as a reminder once again, looking at the I Am statements of Jesus in the Gospel according to John. And yet we read from Luke today, so I'll explain that. So seven times in the Gospel according to John, Jesus says, I am, using specific words, ego eimi, explaining something about himself, relating his divinity to certain things. I am the bread of life, he says. I am the good shepherd. Last week, those of you would have heard him say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he uses the same expression of that ego eimi every single time. And it's the same word that God used in the Hebrew in Exodus 3 when he revealed himself to Moses by saying, I am who I am. I am Yahweh. So every time Jesus does this, he's saying something about his divinity. Now in other passages, he uses the same words, not saying, I am this or that, but just purely saying, this is who I am. I am. And we found that on Friday when they arrested him. They said, he said, I am. And they actually stumbled back and fell to the ground because they could see this and they realized who he was. And today, as he reveals himself to his disciples, he does the same thing. And have special meaning to us. So we'll be focusing on that today as we look and consider the resurrection. Now thinking about the resurrection, many people ask questions about this today, or question the resurrection. They come up with questions like, for example, did this really happen? Or should we distinguish between the historical Jesus who died and still dead, and the biblical Jesus, who's only a story telling us about the rise of Christianity? People say and ask these questions. People ask the question, well, maybe he didn't have a mortal body. Maybe he was divine from birth on and didn't really die. He wasn't dead, he was only sleeping for 3 days. Or people say maybe his disciples were hallucinating when they saw him and they had visions of him. Or maybe it was a spirit only appearing to them. You see, what Satan has done over 2,000 years of the history of the church is sowing these seeds to make us doubt. Because if we started doubt who Jesus was, and if we started doubt whether he truly died for us, and when we start to doubt that he truly rose from the dead, then our faith has very little meaning. What is our faith worth, Paul asked the Corinthians, if Christ didn't rise from the dead? What is our faith worth if we believe in a Savior who's still dead? Has any worth if we believe in a God that's dead? What would that God mean for us? Or what would it mean if we don't believe in the resurrection of the body, because if our faith has any worth for this life on earth, then it dies with us when we die and it has no eternal meaning. And therefore these seeds of doubt and questioning is planted in our minds. And that is why Jesus as well on this day appears to his disciples to reassure them of this truth and this fact that he has truly risen from the dead. I want to look at this passage today just by focusing on two things. First of all, the fear his disciples had, and then how he calms their fear in revealing himself to them. And let's look at this event, this meeting. This actually happens on the Sunday eve of Easter. So this is something that would happen tonight a few thousand years ago anyway, 2,000 years ago. The disciples were gathered together in a small little room. In the Gospel according to John, in the parallel passage, he tells us that they locked the door. See, they were so uncertain and so afraid of persecution, they had no idea what was going on this weekend. So they locked the door, so scared were they. And then they gathered inside and they talked about the events of the day and of the weekend. They started to wonder what's going on, because the woman came back to them, Mary came back to them and told them that Jesus wasn't in the grave anymore. Peter and John came back and told them the same thing. What was going on? two guys on their way to Emmaus came to them as well and told them that Christ had risen. What are they to make of this? And as they discussed this and thought about this, all of a sudden we read in Luke 24, Jesus stood among them and he appeared to them. And he spoke to them and he said to them, "Peace be with you." Now it's a normal greeting that a lot of the Jews would still use today in the Hebrew, "Shalom," peace be with you. And in many ways it would be like me saying to you today, "G'day." And I have to start practicing that now that we've become Australians on Tuesday. So I have to start saying that. But when God says good day to you as well, surely you would take that as a sense of, this is going to be the best day ever. And when Jesus stood in front of them and said to them, "Peace be with you," that has so much more meaning and depth that they truly knew that this is something special going on. But seeing him and hearing him talk scared them. Oh, they had a big fright. Luke says, and he uses actually three different words to try and explain how they felt. In English he says they were startled, they were frightened, and in the words of Jesus as well, they were troubled. They were scared out of their wits because of what they just saw and heard. And just imagine how you would react to this. Say you buried someone this last week and you were at home, and then all of a sudden this person just appears next to you and say, "Hi, how are you?" You would be quite scared, I think, as well. There he was, the door still closed, but physically he's standing among them. They thought that this was a ghost. And then Jesus says, "Don't be troubled," and that trouble might cause you to doubt. And the word for doubt is actually quite interesting as well, because the word for doubt in the Greek comes from a word that we get the word dialogue from as well. So what was happening with them doubting was they were starting to have an internal dialogue with themselves. Those voices you sometimes hear arguing with yourselves. So they were saying within them, "Oh, yes, Jesus. No, it can't be. He's dead. But I can hear him and I can see him. Yeah, but how can I explain that? Yeah, but death is final. He can't be with us." And they were arguing and dialoguing with themselves internally. And this made them to fear. They could not understand what they are seeing. There are two reasons for them being afraid. I think we can take note of. First of all, I think you would understand their fear from a psychological point of view, because this is something you can't explain. And whenever we experience something supernatural that you cannot explain, you can't control, then you start to fear that because it's out of your understanding. But also there's a theological or religious reason for this. Because when they saw something supernatural, it was either an appearance of God himself or his angels, or it was something satanic and demonic appearing to them. And they didn't know what this was. So therefore they were truly scared to the bone. But then Jesus reveals himself to them, and he calms them down as he proves to them who he is. Just consider this. He stands there and he tells them and he shows them that he is there in the flesh. He's there with his body. Now it was a glorified body because he was able to appear on the other side of a closed door. It was the same body he had before, but yet it was different. It was the same body, but it was a body that they could see, they could feel, a body that bore the marks that he received on the cross. It was a body that even ate with them as he shared a meal with them, showing them that it is him being physically with them. And as he rose his hands to say, "Peace be with you," they could see the marks in his hands. And they realized that this isn't a ghost. This is the same person that they spent the last 3 and more years with. This is the same person whom they heard preach, whom they saw do miracles, whom they stayed with, walked with, followed with, ate with over the course of some years. And right in the center of that revelation of his physical presence, That's when Jesus also adds to this, I am. Look at my body, it is me. Look at my hands, he says, and then he adds, in the middle of all of this, it is I, myself, we find in the English. But in the Greek, he uses those words again, ego eimi. And once again, as I mentioned on Friday for those of you as well, if I use these words, it wouldn't have deep meaning. If I said I am, it wouldn't have deep meaning to you. If you ask me who's Australian, I go I am, it doesn't make that big an impact. But when Christ stands there, the risen living Lord, and he says to these disciples, I am, they hear the voice of God. They hear the voice that Moses heard in the burning bush. And they could see who he was, and they calmed down because they now understood that Christ has risen. That he is both man, but because they could see his marks in his body, but he's also truly God because they hear him say this about himself. And the peace and the joy that he promised at the beginning, peace be with you, that peace came upon them. And they understood what he said before. He said to them before, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the truth, the way and the life. And now here he is standing alive. There's only one conclusion you can make from this that the disciples made as well, and that is that Christ conquered death. That he truly is living. And the proof is standing right in front of them. The proof is there. Jesus is alive. This is such a central fact and truth in our faith. If you don't have faith in the living Christ, then your faith is futile. And that is why today is such a big part of our Christian celebrations. Every single Sunday, Easter Sunday, we celebrate this. We believe that Christ is alive and that brings true life to us. Because when we have life in Christ, faith in Christ, we share in his life. And he brings life to us, a life that we have started now already and that we will continue to have in him. And we needn't doubt that. We needn't fear that. We should only be celebrating the fact that we have faith in a living God. I can encourage you today just to do one thing. And that is just at one point today, just make a point of just praying to God and praising him for the fact of the resurrection of Jesus. It's so important for us to hold on to this, and it's so important for us to celebrate it. And it's so important for us because it impacts our lives every single moment. I am has risen. Let us praise God for that in prayer. Please pray with me.